I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. Bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad atter, bad seed, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Varela Palacio, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves to hit that sour D before she goes to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But I'm up in the come around, fight the flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess. This town's a tad of my brains. Splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it up. It's Farrell with Carver. Hi this evening. Unbelievable game at No Sleep Till at the Barclays. 2.7 seconds left. The foul, Harden on Batum before PG got the three off. They're reviewing it. This is a foul at midcourt on Harden against Batum before Batum threw the ball to PG. It's as plain as day. This is a two-shot foul, not a three-shot foul. You know what I should do, Carver High? I should help these refs out. I should be the at-home analyst. Instead of these guys they got in the booth now at every game that in the NFL and everything else that they butcher these calls, I'm just going to make a call for you. Harden foul on Batum. Batum shoots two. PG's got nothing to do with it. And there's Batum at the line shooting two. I don't even need the refs because I can make the call myself. They're so awful. I don't even need to review it. Now, this game has been unbelievable because with about, 90 seconds left, maybe 2 minutes tops, the Nets were up 9. And with 30 seconds left, they were up 1. They went up 9, and then they were up 1. Then Durant hits 2 free throws. Then they go down, Kawhi hits 2 free throws. Then, with 5 seconds left in the game, Harden inbounds, throws the ball the length of the court to Jeff Green, who catches it standing all by himself. Reggie Jackson fouls him, but he makes the kiss off the glass, the and one. If he makes a free throw, the game is over. They go up 4. Instead, he misses the free throw. That's what led to the Harden foul on Batum. Now, and they've added all kinds of time left on this clock. So when Batum went to the line, there was 2.7 seconds left. And after all of that, now there's 3.1 seconds left, so it's going backwards. So they've added so much time onto the clock that they're doing everything they can to make this game go to overtime. Right now it's 122 to 120. Wasn't the number? I think it was 241, wasn't it?
It was 241 and a half. That was the total. Wow.
So right now they need a bucket. Right? What is it sitting at? It's at Oh, do they have it already? 122.
They have it. It's over. It's over by a hook.
By a hook. It's over. All right. So, and this game has really been fantastic. It's not over yet. 3 seconds left. I don't know why they added all that time onto the clock. The one thing I wanted to talk about with this game, several things, actually. I want to welcome in all of our radio affiliates on SiriusXM 204. What up, kid? And Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. What's shaking out in Cali? We love you. And then Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio. Good to have you on the bench tonight. Pharrell, that's me. Carver Hyde, that's my boy over there. 122, 123 seconds left. Harden trying to inbound. He gets it to Kyrie. He's fouled. 1.9 left. He'll go to the line. PG's complaining. It doesn't matter. Now, here's the deal with this game. Couple things that I you know, noticed when watching it. First of all, you knew it was going to be the game of the night. And then I told you the nightcap with the Celtics and Warriors is going to be just as good because the Warriors, they seldom come out to play in the city. Bye-bye. All right, Kawhi Leonard, first topic. He is absolutely unguardable. He's unguardable. So every single time this guy has the ball and wants to score, he does. There's no stopping him. It doesn't matter if Durant's on him. It doesn't matter if Harden's on him. They tried everything. They did switches left and right. Kyrie makes two. It's a four-point game with 1 second left. The Nets win and cover. Beautiful bet today on Coast to Coast, Carver. How do you like them apples with the Nets beating the team with the best record in the NBA?
Of it's course, beautiful, no baby. Beautiful.
No shaking hands, no fraternizing after the games. Meanwhile, Kawhi and Morris are hugging. I mean, they're virtually kissing at this point. Every player on the floor is high-fiving, hugging, handshaking, taking pictures, hugging, French kissing. It's all happening, all of it. And close-up talk, there you go. Harden with Morris, less than a foot apart, spraying each other with action. COVID everywhere. And variants. Anyway, Kawhi Leonard cannot be guarded, is my point. A, he was 12 of 24 from the floor, 1 of 5 from downtown, 5 boards, 5 dimes, and he's just unbelievable. Paul George, 11 of 24, hit 3 threes, 4 boards, 6 dimes, 26 points, also does whatever he wants. Morris does whatever he wants, 16 points, 6 of 10, 3 of 6, 4 boards. I mean, I haven't even started talking about what the Nets did in this game. Bench 844-843-6879 is the number. Warriors and Celtics are underway, knotted at fives early. So going back to this Nets game, the Clippers shot 45% from the floor, 41% from downtown. And then you get Brooklyn, 57% they shot from the floor, 41% from downtown. And then Kyrie had 39 on 15 of 23. The key was 6 of 8 from downtown. And he had 5 boards, 2 dimes, played with 4 fouls. That's impressive in 37 minutes. And then Durant had 28. He's been averaging 30. He had 28, 11 of 13 from the floor. And he hit a 3. He was 1 of 1. From downtown, 9 boards. So 28 and 9 and 11 of 13 from the floor. Durant was spectacular. And then Harden had 23, 7 of 15 from the floor, 1 of 6 from downtown. But the triple-double he had, 23, 11 boards, 14 dimes. That is just absolutely crazy. And then he was 8 of 8 from the line. Irving 3 of 3 from the line. Durant 5 of 5 from the line. They were 21 of 26 from the line. The only guys that miss are Jordan. Obviously, every time he goes to the line, he misses. Shamet was 2 of 3. That's the other thing I want to talk about was Shamet. He had 4 points. 1 of 3 from the floor. 0 of 2 from downtown. 1 offensive board. 1 assist. No steals. 2 turnovers. So I saw him. It's just unbelievable watching this guy. I saw him miss a 3, turn the ball over in back-to-back possessions, and on the turnover, the next trip down the floor on the defensive end, he goes down and fouls the Clipper player, I think it was Kawhi, under the basket with an and one. So I saw him miss a 3, turn the ball over, race down, try to stop him, fouls, and gives up the and one. I mean, if you're going to foul somebody under the basket, you can't let them just go up and shoot the kiss off the glass for the and one and then make it a 3-point play. And then I tweeted, I think during the game, I just couldn't take it anymore. Because, you know, I never want to, like, tweet about players. And then all of a sudden, you know, with like 8-10 minutes left in the game, the guy's having a bad spell. And then he comes back and hits the game-winning shot. You know what I mean? And I just want to look at the tweet that I put out. Here's what I put out on him when I was watching it. Shamet is a disaster. He makes so many mistakes, it does nothing. Turnover cost him the lead. Next possession on D, foul, and one for Leonard. I knew it was something like that. So he turned the ball over, or missed a 3, then went down, got the ball, turned it over on a bad pass, went down, fouled, and won Leonard. Like, I'm sitting there watching this guy, and trust me, I'm not wrong, because the minute he did all 3, the sequence, disaster that it was, that was the last seconds he played in the game. Finally, Nash showed some stones and took him out of the game. And the guy is not, you know, I'm sorry, but I can prove it to you. I literally can prove it to you. Look, I got to go back to the box score. I really do. It's very important that I do this so I can feel good about myself in terms of carrying on. All right, so Shamet, 5 points a game, 1 rebound, 1 assist. He went 4-1-1 tonight, you know, so basically just under his average. They're saying in his last 10 games, he's averaged 7 points. Home games, 5 points. And then the thing that really gets me is he's, you know, 9 points a game in his career. He's 5 points now here in Brooklyn this year. So the guy is a 41% shooter, 39% from downtown. Now listen to this. That's career. But here in Brooklyn, he's 34% from the floor and 30% from downtown. Now, you know, you do the math. 41% career shooter, 34 now. 39% career downtown shooter, 30% now. I mean, he's on the verge of going into the 20s. He's at 30.4. He's only a few more bricks away from going into the 20s. And when you're in the 20s, Am I wrong? Is he not a 3-point shooter? That's why they got him. They got the guy because he can shoot. No other reason. Meanwhile, he's been absolutely worthless on the Nets. I mean, the guy's lost his way. There's no getting around it. So you can think whatever you want. All I know is, I could see, you look at his, you know, I'd love to just, I don't have time to sit here and search this guy's life. I just know he sucks. I can't take it. I can't watch him. I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint it other than I have watched this guy now, you know, play every night for the Nets since the jump. They got him to shoot threes. And all I've done is watch this guy shoot bricks. All I've done is watch this guy turn the ball over. All I've done is watch this guy not stop anybody from doing anything. Honestly, I'm not even trying to be, like, I don't know him from Adam. I'm not trying to be a D to this guy. I'm just telling you, watch the games, watch for yourself, and when he's on the floor, bad things happen. And I hope to God it turns around. I really do. I want the guy to do well. I'm not interested in him not hitting J's. I want the guy to hit threes and do everything. But he does not fit on that team. I know they'll lie and say he does. They'll lie through their teeth and tell you he's everything they dreamt of. But it's not true. He's been terrible. When he plays, in the limited minutes that he plays, he's a disaster. And then, you know, it's bad enough, honestly, that they don't play any defense whatsoever. I mean, they don't play D. But it's another thing when he's on the floor and he's turning the ball over. And he's shooting air balls. Because he does that too. And so my point is that when you never play defense, you can't have turnovers when you have the ball on offense, right? If you're not going to stop anybody, you can't afford to not get your possessions a bucket or a shot. Like tonight, dribbles down, turns the ball over, goes down, fouls Kawhi and one. It's a three-point, more than a three-point mistake. You lose an attempt at a two or a three. You turn the ball over, then you foul, give up a three-point play. That's like a five-point swing to me because you don't get a shot. You give them a shot and one. So to me, it's like you didn't shoot it. You didn't get anything because this asshat turns the ball over. So if you're going to play on a team that doesn't play defense, you can't afford to have a guy turning the rock over when you do have the ball because you're an offensive team. And your offensive possessions mean everything to you because that's all they do is score. And Carver High, you know I'm not crazy. You can't win with a team, in my opinion, that doesn't play defense. And then you add insult to injury by turning the ball over. So if you're going to have a bunch of turnovers and you're going to just keep giving the other team a chance to score and you don't play any defense, they're going to score. Just like Kawhi, PG, and Morris did all night. Great game. Nets win. I bet on the Nets to win outright and getting a point and a half. So I'm Gandhi with the bet. But there are reasons to be concerned about the Nets and their lack of defense. Pharrell on a bench with you. And we bring in Rick Haro, our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid, on Coast to Coast, and on Pharrell on a Bench from Harvard. Here he is, the sports professor. So I want to pick it up, Rick, at around we got through about nine of the things on the 15 to watch today, and I'm going with 10. I want to start with this. Because of the pandemic, Golf Data Tech in its 2020 golf performance report showed that the past year was a record-breaking success for some major portions of the golf industry. First of all, tell me what that's about. And then second of all, does any of the other success have anything to do with Patrick Reed winning even though he cheats?
No. No. But I will tell you, generally, last year was a hell of a year, about a 14% increase in rounds. It's the highest total year increase since they began collecting their data in 2012. There was also an improvement in the retail equipment. Apparel sales dropped about 14%. People weren't buying clothes, but they were buying golf clubs, and they were buying golf equipment. And so, listen, outdoors, pandemic still on, you could still exercise. And the bottom line was golf had a really, really good year. You didn't expect it, but they did.
Yeah, I went golfing a little bit more than usual this year. I went golfing with you, and then I ended up golfing, probably 8 or 10 more times throughout the summer and fall. So I played a lot more than I usually do. And I think a lot of people went golfing because they – got sick and tired of being locked up in their prisons. In other words, their homes with COVID.
Yeah, and you know, people originally had closed down the golf courses, remember, in April and March and May last year. Most of the golf courses down here in Florida were closed. Then they realized that, you know, it's outdoors. You can have your single cart. There are very significant ways to protect you against COVID. And you're outside. And if you're outside, it beats a lot of the issues. And so it's going to have another good year this year. I would say, unfortunately, because, you know, it's one of the only ways to get out and recreate these days.
So what was your opinion of Reed's with that ball plugged on Saturday? And then all the players, not all of them, but a lot of them, and certainly a few were vocal about it, like Xander Schauffele, that they don't like, well, him for one. They don't like him for one. He is the most unpopular guy on tour. Am I wrong about that? And now a bunch of guys think he cheats.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong about that. But again, you just go by what people are saying. I get it. And, you know, he has a bit of a history of that. And he kept saying during the tournament, right when it was over, that the rules officials said he did everything he could do. Right. Well, he didn't. He didn't wait for the rules official. When you're in doubt, that's the big issue. That you can't, when you're interpreting a rule and you're not sure of it, you got to get some interpretation from all of these guys who are on the courses. I mean, people don't understand in professional golf tournaments, especially on the PGA Tour, how basically every hole, or they're certainly 5 minutes away from a rules official who's always there, and everybody understands the rules. So, yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be on anybody's Christmas card list this year.
Yeah, I wonder if he did that. Let's say hypothetically he did it on purpose, and then said, "Oh, I didn't see a rules official. I didn't wait for the rules official, whatever." And then he clamored how he did everything he was supposed to do, which is just not true. That is not accurate. He did not do what was right. He cheated. That's all there is to it. So. Typically, he'd be disqualified right then and there, right? Wouldn't that be it? You'd be out.
Yeah. Well, I think, or you'd be given a two-stroke penalty, and then you'd be, you know, signing for the wrong score as well. So I don't know if you're automatically ejected in that situation, but you certainly would be penalized.
All right. So the NHL has raised around $1 billion in new debt on the. Private placement market, whatever that is, and the league is using capital to create a central facility, which is in English, they've given every team access to $30 million of basically assistance in COVID with all the losses that are going on. Is that about right?
Yeah, private placement market in Portuguese, as you like to say, is a bank. So, you know, you go to the bank and you say, we've got the TV contract as collateral and, you know, give us a lot of money. And then they have a credit facility where any club, if they want to, can draw up to $30 million for cash flow issues, marketing issues, things to get by during the pandemic. It's a brilliant move. You know, the NBA is doing it by allowing companies, if they want to buy pieces of the NBA franchises, even if they want to own more than one little piece. So each of the leagues are trying to figure out how to raise significant dollars. Baseball's doing that too.
So speaking of baseball, how about Ken Griffey getting a gig as a senior advisor to Rob Manfred and working in the league office?
On the heels of Theo Epstein doing the same thing. You know, a lot of people say that Rob Manfred, he's a labor lawyer, he didn't play the game, and he's unapproachable. Well, remember when Bud Selig had Joe Torre as his right-hand guy? And so Rob Manfred is doing the right thing by getting advice from people who have played, not only have played, but in the Hall of Famers. And so this is a good thing. Now, all he has to do is to come to agreement pretty quickly with the union, because time is ticking, and remember, the union just rejected the latest package, They want to start in April. They want to go 154 games. And they're not going anywhere unless they can get an agreement.
So let me ask you about the cocaine-sniffing dogs that the American Airlines Arena are using now in Miami at Heat games. And you're telling me that these cocaine-sniffing dogs can smell COVID?
Well, that's what they're talking about. They've had experience just sniffing a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm not sure if it's exactly the same dogs. If you're sniffing cocaine, can you then sniff COVID? Maybe it's different kind of dogs. Maybe it's a different breed of dogs. It doesn't really matter. But these dogs have been used for ages, and specifically virus detection dogs have been used in airports for the latter half of this year. The NBA and the Heat hope that fans are back in larger numbers, but until they are, this is a really good way, and again, another test in addition to the thermometer. Now you got the dogs.
So what happened at Dartmouth? They've reinstated a bunch of sports that they had canceled. The problem I'm having with it is I know they're going to make a little bit of money. They'll have something going on with men's and women's swimming, diving teams, men's lightweight rowing, men's and women's golf will help with some budgetary problems. But the reality is that for the second year in a row, the Ivy League has canceled basketball. Meanwhile, everybody else is playing basketball. So if they're so smart, because you're an Ivy Leaguer, what the hell are they doing? No one gives a rat's ass about swimming and rowing. Not even people that like it.
Yeah, well, and the problem is, you know, the Ivy League does have a lot of money, and they would increase the student assessments to take care of these sports. Problem is football, as we know from last year, and didn't happen with the Ivy League, and basketball are the two big sports. Everybody understands that revenue-wise. And so the difference is, and we know Robin Harris well, she is the commissioner, but she is kind of she's reporting directly to the trustees, you know, not the athletic directors. And the presidents of the universities have their own ideas about what they want to have and what they don't. And football and basketball just aren't as important. You'd like to think so, but they're not. Meanwhile, you know, under the radar, look at all of these Division II, Division III football schools that are going to start playing this winter and spring. That's a heck of a story. I know we have COVID issues and all of that, but we're going to have some football this spring and winter, and it's not XFL.
Okay, respectfully, I got under 90 seconds. Tell me how Michael Jordan had anything at all to do with this GameStop stock war problem last week.
Yeah, he didn't lose millions in the short squeeze, but some of his fellow billionaires and hedge fund managers like Mets owner Steve Cohen did. Jordan sold part of his majority stake in the Charlotte Hornets ownership to Gabe Plotkin. Plotkin held short-selling stock positions in GameStop, a lot of it being sold at a certain number. It went up. Thankfully for all of us, I guess, we've tried to all figure it out. So the stock market is now, you're not back to normal, but it'll be interesting to see how Plotkin goes about its Hornets ownership position with Jordan going forward.
Yeah, how about Jordan? I got 30 seconds, less than that, 20 seconds. He lost $300 million in 2020 with pandemic issues with his businesses. That's crazy. If I lost $300 million, which I never will, because I could never even find $300 million. If I lost it, I wouldn't even know if I had it. But if I ever lost $300 million, you could find me jumping off the Empire State Building. We'll come back and talk more with Rick Haro. So, Carver, I was just telling me I'm just constantly in trouble. He's like, you got problems. He goes, you're going to have to call that lawyer of yours. He goes, you're just, it's just a constant just reminder of my reputation and the problems.
You have to keep them on speed dial. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you're used to it by now. You just always have to have it ready, you know?
So some guy interviewed me a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you heard that interview where the guy was asking me about my, history and run-ins with the FCC. And I was like, I don't like to really get into it that much because the reality is there's nothing there. I mean, the bottom line is a swing and a miss. They went after me for years and it came, after me for years. And I guess it's because of, guys like me, Opie and Anthony, Howard Stern, Bubba, all those guys, we were all dangerous, right? Neil Rogers in Miami, we're all dangerous. And so they wanted to ruin us. They wanted to bring us down and get us fired and sue us and ruin us. And bottom line is that they never got me. And the reality is that's the truth. And they know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. The facts remain. But every time I got in trouble, I always got fired. So I got fired no matter what. I'm like these guys, like the guy Gordon, a Porter from the Mets, and Callaway. You know he's getting fired. The guy Porter's getting fired, right? When I was in Miami, I got all accused of all this stuff, and I got fired instantly, lost all my money, lost everything, had to move to New York. I was living in Miami. I love Miami. I love being on there. And they said, the FCC, they're after me and everything else. That's like tonight, Carver High's like, yeah, you're going to have to get the lawyer on the phone. Just constantly in trouble, people.
No.
Just it's just never ending. Anyway, we're talking to Rick Haro, our sports business and legal insider. He's also one of my lawyers. Rick, I did nothing wrong in Miami. All I ever did was great radio in Miami. I said some funny things in the morning about Howard David's wife, and that got it all going. But
I forgot about that.
Anything.
Well, good remember, good memory, man. I remember that.
No one could prove anything. They didn't understand my language. As you know, I only speak in Portuguese. So I don't think the American
and Miami, listen,
picked up on it.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, remember, spending most of my life in Miami, anybody in Miami has some nerve, chastising you for being off the rails because the whole town is off the rails.
It really is off the rails, but I loved it. I loved living there, and I mean, you know how much I loved living there. You and I became best of friends down there. You did my show for years. We went to millions of sporting events together, and you've also seen me commit felonies, and you were like, I refuse to represent you anymore. Haro used to represent me when I was a troublemaker, and he said, I just can't take it anymore. He said, you're ruining my marriage, my family, my children don't like me because they know that I'm hanging around you. And I was the radio guy, bad guy on the radio, and then Haro's reputation down at the PGA National started getting influenced Carver High. They started saying, I cannot believe that you're associating with this scum, Pharrell.
Well, the reality of it is that I don't practice law, though I have my bar degree or law degree.
Don't lie.
Thank God none of that is true. I would have had the ability to represent. Look, I love representing the downtrodden, and you fit in so many categories.
Thank you. All right, so now the top five tech heading into the Super Bowl. By the way, fans, Rick is going to his 22nd Super Bowl in a row. Only one problem. He got his credential today from the NFL, and he's going tomorrow to Tampa to spend Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in Tampa, and then he's leaving to go home to Miami so that he can get his second second vaccine shot, which he's got apparently friends in high places because no one else can get a shot, but Rick's got two of them already. He's not going to the Super Bowl Sunday because he told me on the phone today, my lawyer told me, quote, I'd rather get the second shot than go to the Super Bowl and die, end quote.
I'll deny I said that, right? How could you possibly say that I said that? Actually, there is some truth to that, right? Oh, I thought the game was Friday. It's not Friday. Is it Sunday?
Oh, Sunday night.
Thanks. Oh, shoot. I got to figure out then how to stay for two more days. It's just, you know what the advantage of watching it on TV is? And I'll get all this stuff. I'll get all the souvenirs and nobody will know the difference. But, well, A, and B, you see the commercials. I mean, it's real time. You know, you can't, because of the deals at the stadiums, they don't let you see the commercials when you're there. And so that's one of the other kind of bad things about being there. In addition,
Carver High. Hold on.
I mean, the commercials. Like, who watches the commercials anymore? The commercials have been so bad for years now. Years they've been bad. Nobody has good ideas anymore.
The last time the commercials were any good was when you guys lost four in a row. Oh, sorry.
Here we go. Let me ask you this question.
Here we go.
Did you hear that The Weeknd, the musician, the performer, The Weeknd is doing the halftime show, that he had to spend $7 million of his own money to do his performance Sunday night? Are you kidding? Like, who has someone? Explain to me. The NFL hires this guy to perform the halftime show, like Prince or anyone else that's done it, Aerosmith.
Right.
And the guy has to spend $7 million of his own flow to, like, do the show. What is that about? You can't even explain.
Well, it's pandemic related, by the way, because most years they kind of pick up expenses. The NFL has chosen, not too many people talk about this, not to pay the big acts at halftime. Why? Well, because it's a great exposure. And, you know, when you kind of roll out a new album or you do something that's really important in the industry, look what happened with Katy Perry and Justin Timberlake when they were there, when they did their halftimes. It's the biggest publicity you can get. But now, because of COVID, I'm guessing that the expenses are pretty significant. And if you're coming, that's a lot of money. But a Weeknd will get a lot of benefit out of this. $7 million of benefit? Who knows?
All right, so explain to me about the tech thing where the NFL is using these electronic seat covers as opposed to a tarp that goes over the entire sections of the stadium. That's just another day at the Oakland A's, Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. That's just another day game where they cover the entire upper deck. But in the Super Bowl, that's what they're doing, these electronic seat covers. What's this about?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because CBS has time on these boards to promote its own programming, but their value is limited without substantial exposure on the broadcast. And just as it did during the regular season, CBS isn't going out of its way to help during Super Bowl airtime. It'll be more incidental, says CBS. They don't have a plan to show it, but the lack of a full stadium allows some broadcast innovations, including a trolley cam operating from the eighth row, a few more cameras on the sidelines made possible by the strict capacity limits. So, you know, instead, the brilliant idea is you have tarps, and the stadiums that made a lot of money this year from it actually put the advertising on the tarps, not just because no fans would want to go, but it's because there were no fans allowed in the stadiums. This is just another example, and there's electronic stuff attached to it this year.
So sports tech, along with cloud technology and virtualized radio access networks, are going to continue growing in 21. What does that mean?
Well, it means that they're going to move forward. Even though with COVID looming, there's going to be a combination of global deals and funding rounds over the next half decade that talk about lifestyle and cloud technology, 3,000 global deals. And every city wanting to have a sports tech and business sector in year-round profit, the industry is booming itself, a lot more money to be made.
We have massive cloud technology at Sports Grid, as you know. The good sports five, the NFL calling out all hands on deck in order to help keep the community and charitable events for the Super Bowl on schedule. What is that plan about?
Yeah, virtual events for kids, 100,000 kids signing up. EverFi, you know, big sports charity company, but also corporate, not just sports. 306 African American History Program is the name of one of the programs they're doing, and they're taking these programs and they're putting them virtually everywhere, funded by the league. The program will have a panel of NFL players participating and getting involved with the kids. So one thing that's happening this Super Bowl week is obviously everything is going virtual. And now that I know that the game is Sunday, not Friday, it's going to really help me plan a little better. Thank you for that.
So ESPN and CBS expanding their Black History Month initiatives. What's going on there?
Yeah, every Black History Month has gotten a lot bigger. Programming includes a new documentary airing on February 11th, Big House, The Pearl, and the Triumph of Winston-Salem State, which is about Earl the Pearl Monroe, as we know. There are a lot of other programming. They're doing it right, and they're doing a lot of good stuff to tell stories about African-Americans in sports, and it's a good thing when these documentary makers put their mind to it. They tell great stories.
So Conor McGregor donated $500,000 after he got his ass beat by Dustin Poirier to $500,000 to Poirier's Good Fight Foundation. That was cool of him, after getting his ass beat, to still stick to his word and give him a half a milli.
Yeah, it was. It was okay. And the bottom line is, Conor McGregor, as we know, is trying to improve his reputation constantly. Then he does some stupid stuff. Then he tries to improve his reputation again. This time, it's a $500,000 better for charity because he's trying to make amends. And it is good that he kept his word.
It really is. Well, listen, Rick, great stuff today on Coast to Coast and tonight on For All on the Bench. Be careful when you go to the Heat games. When the cocaine-sniffing, COVID-sniffing dogs start rummaging around your pockets and near your family jewels.
Yeah, they're just happy. You know, I have no idea. I can't wait to go to a game and watch that, because, like I said this afternoon on the air with you, only in Miami would you turn the cocaine-sniffing dogs into COVID-sniffing dogs.
It's true. By the way, I'm a 2XL, so when you go to Tampa tomorrow for the next 3 days to the Super Bowl, make sure you get me a kick-ass T-shirt that I can wear to the gym for the Super Bowl, 2XL, and then I'll, as usual, text you my address, and then I'll
cash it. I got it. By the way, real quick, I know we're about out of time. You know, Brady is the hottest-selling merchandise now over the last two weeks of anybody ever in the NFL. Amazing.
Yes, and my wife thinks he uses Botox, and he has not found the fountain of youth. There he is, Rick Harrow, ladies and gentlemen, on a bench. All right, Pharrell on a bench with you. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on. Carver High, does it bother you that the Warriors moved to San Francisco, and yet they still, once in a periodic while, they will throw their floor out on with the Oakland logo at center court? I mean, I understand that they're trying to keep their, you know, relationship with the East Bay alive and well, because they played there for so long at Oracle and, you know, over at the Alameda facility, which is right there where the A's play and everything. So obviously I get it, but at some level, don't you think that it's kind of cheesy in the sense that, like, they left and went to San Francisco? Like, you know, I mean, let's face facts. People in Oakland, that's their own world, their own city. Those people don't care, unless I'm tripping. I live there.
They left them. Left them high and dry.
And look, it's no different than the Raiders. And it's the only team left standing there is the A's for the time being. And you can't tell me that they didn't leave Oakland for rich San Francisco and the ritzy, snooty, stuck-up San Francisco in the city, down on the water. They got a, you know, brand spanking new billion-dollar arena. I get it. I would have moved too. But don't you think it's kind of cheesy that they're still, like, putting the Oakland floor out there, like they still live in Oakland? I mean, who are you kidding?
This is the second time in a week they've done this stuff. Me and Mafia did this one night last week when you were out. We were watching the game. They had the Oakland jerseys on. They had the Oakland floor out there. I mean, didn't you guys leave? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, they got it going again tonight. I mean, they're wearing the jerseys and the floor again tonight. It's inexplicable. I mean, they are so gone from Oakland, it's not even funny. They play in San Francisco now.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.